Okay, today we are going to spend the morning understanding a Hetta Iska, which is no small thing because many Paiskim hold that if you use a Hetta Iska without understanding it, that it's not kosher. Some Paiskim hold even b'di'evid. And therefore, it's very important to understand what a Hetta Iska is, how it works. There are two sides here. This first side has a standard Hetta Iska, Iska A. The second side is a Iska Klali, which I believe there are likely people here, in any group of 50 or so people, there's going to be someone who needs it and doesn't know he needs it. So I'd like to first explain Iska A, what it means, how an Iska works. I'd also like to explain why in the book there are five Hetta Iskas. People say it's confusing, just give me one, you know, give me one, that's a catch-all. So it's possible to, but it's not really the way a Hetta Iska should be. And I'd like to explain all this next week. Rav David, I'd like to learn there are a handful of simonim, short simonim between Ribbis and Hilchos Nida. So what I'd like to do is from now till the summer I'll learn the four or five short simanim, beginning with Hilchos Chukas Hagayim, and Hilchos Kishuf, and Hilchos Ksavis Kaka, Kufay and Ches. And next year, after the summer, I'd like to do a Mitzvah Shem Hilchos Nida, Kufay and Ches, Kufay and Tes, Kufay, Kufay Aleph, Kufay Beis. But it's not so much. Each one is a page, some are less. Now that includes Kufay Beis, I believe. Yeah, so it was Kaka. Yeah, two and including Kuf Pei Beis. Yeah, it'll be shorter than just Kuf Samach that we just did. So you have enough paper. Okay. They have a paper. Okay. I should mention to you that anybody, as the author, I get these books for half price. If anybody's interested in them, I'm selling to you what it costs. I'm not looking to, actually a penny more, because I think I get it for $13.99 or something. I'm charging $14. You get a discount for prepayment, yeah. So anybody who would like one, I can get you one. This is the fourth edition. It actually went through four printings, which shocked me also. And in art school, I told you, they say never buy the first printing. There are corrections in the second one. This one, of course, was perfect the first time, so it was not necessary to make it. You're not supposed to laugh. You're supposed to take it seriously. So,
that's for everybody but the first
edition. Excuse me?
That's for everybody but the first edition.
Okay. All right, to explain the Hetta Iska, I think I mentioned to you at the outset that when I started learning Hilchos Ribbis, we undertook to learn it. I couldn't wait to get to the Siman in Shulchan Aruch that talked about Hetta Iska. And we finished everything in Shulchan Aruch. It didn't say the word Hetta Iska anywhere. Not in the Shulchan Aruch, not in the Shachan Taz, not even the Pischei Tshuva. So it was something of a shock to me that there's no Hilchos Hetta Iska. I'd like to explain how the Hetta Iska is, where it comes from, even the question of whether there's a Chumrah not to use it. I'd like to try to explain everything, but I try to keep to a Seder. And in order to go beseder, I have to explain Iska, not Hetta Iska, not this document, but what an Iska is. Iska is a Hebrew word for investment. What an investment is, we've crossed the thought many times as we were learning Kuf Samach, but you have to understand what it is and how it's the underpinning of a Hetta Iska. An Iska is an investment. The crucial point is that investment is defined by liability. The difference between a loan and an investment is that when I lend you money, you're guaranteeing payment. I lend you $1,000, you owe me $1,000. You can't come back to me and say, well, my business went bad, I don't owe it to you. If I lend you $1,000, you owe it to me. If somebody in America declares bankruptcy and owes money to Jews, he still owes money to Jews. There's no halacha, doesn't recognize the bankruptcy laws, and therefore a loan is guaranteed as much as the person is trustworthy, but a loan is a guaranteed thing.
And in America, there's such a thing as a bankruptcy law. Why isn't that itself another
Hetta Iska? Bankruptcy law doesn't have, it's nothing to do with Hetta Iska, it has to do with Hetta Geneva. In other words, if you borrow money, you're not paying. I'm telling you that.
That mean?
There's nothing to do with ribbis. That has to do with Gnevi. You owe me money, you're not paying me. It has nothing to do with ribbis. Right? I'm just saying, I'm defining a loan. A loan is you owe me money. It's guaranteed.
Any time a bank or anybody loans you money,
right,
they know in the back of their minds you could go bankrupt. That means you're
if I lend you money, I expect that you pay me back. I don't expect that you're going to go hide behind bankruptcy. A yid lends a yid money. There's no... Yes. To from Yidden. Talk about Shur and Consultant when you talk about bankruptcy. Don't talk about Rosen Banker yet. But. No, wrong. No. It's not correct. It doesn't make it an investment. It's even if a person knows he could lose the money, still doesn't turn it into investment. It's only nafkamina legabe having to pay. But all right, let's leave the bankruptcy issue aside. I didn't mean to. Again, the difference. My point is the difference between a loan and an investment is liability. When I invest, I am taking a chance on losing my money. Anybody who starts a business invests in something. There's a chance of liability. Now, in the normal case, where I invest in your company, and I'm a stockholder, I invest, I buy 10% of your company, and I have liability, so that is a typical iska. Now, that doesn't need a heter iska, because it is exactly what it says. It's an iska. I'm investing, buying 10% of your company, and now I'm a partner, so I have ma'asim b'chayim. Someone buys into a company. There's no need for a heter iska, because it is an iska. Now, there's a tzior in Chazal of an iska where you have a managing partner and an investing partner. When somebody has an idea for a great business and the investor, he doesn't have capital, so he goes to an investor who the investor is putting up, let us say, all the money. Of course, it could be in different proportions, but to make it easy, the investor is putting up all the money, and the managing partner is putting in all of the effort and work. And they agree to be 50-50 partners. Now, here's where people get confused. Okay, there's something called chatzi milva v'chatzi pikadon. It means the following. Let us say you need $100,000 to start a company. I put up the $100,000, you put in the work, and we're 50-50 partners. The money I gave you, I only have liability for 50% of the money. How so? Because I gave you $100,000. The company's value as of this moment is $100,000. And we're equal partners. Equal partners means for every dollar we make, you get 50 cents, I get 50 cents. For every dollar we lose, you lose 50 cents, I lose 50 cents. Now what that means is that I really only have liability for half of it. Because our agreement is that we share profits and losses equally. And if so, if the company were to go broke, according to our agreement that we're 50-50 partners, you're liable for half of my money. Because that's our agreement. Our agreement is that we share profits and losses equally. So if I'm investing $100,000, so in the typical agreement, again, you can make agreements however you like, but the typical agreement in time of Chazal was to make people 50-50 partners. You could do it differently, and that's why I don't want to get to that one second. And therefore, I'm half of it is a loan. 50% of the liability, I'm guaranteed, and 50% of the liability, I have. That's called chatzi milva chatzi pekad. It means the following. Let me finish again. I invested $100,000. The $50,000 for which I suffer liability, potentially, that is the word pekadon here is used as investment. It means not a loan. The $50,000 which you're guaranteeing, because you're accepting half of the loss, if this is the case, that's a chatzi milva. That's a 50% milva. So that, my investment, is called chatzi milva chatzi pekadon. You could do it differently. You could do it where the managing partner says, I'm not taking any losses. We'll talk about that. But the typical case in the time of Chazal was this way, that I invested, and it's an agreement that, let me just finish that, it's 50%, chatzi milva, chatzi pekadon, any losses we share equally, any profits we share equally, And Shalom Yisrael, that's a regular iska. There's no, almost no issue with iska. The only issue is that you're working for free. You're working for free. Why are you working for free? I'm a 50% partner. You're a 50% partner. I should be doing half the work. You should be doing half the work. Now, because of, why are you working for free? Because I'm the investor. Now, here is a problem because I'm lending you money, and that's why it's a chatzimilva. That's why you're willing to work. So Chazal required that there be compensation for the work, which many times there is straight out compensation. There's a salary to the managing partner. If there isn't compensation, then the iska requires compensation. Chazal had a kula that if you pay the compensation up front, you can get away with a token payment of a dinner, Chazal say. You can give a token payment just to show that you're paying for the effort, provided the payment is made up front. And that dinner is the dollar, the famous dollar that's part of many hetiska agreements, that you give a dollar. Now, I just, at the moment, was just thinking, in this book, it says that a dollar is good as long as the price of silver stays under $6.30 an ounce. What's the price of silver today? 30-something. So the dollar is not so posh. Now, the Dr. Tshuva holds that dinner is lavdafka, pruta is good, but the meaning is always to do a dinner. It's over $30 an ounce, so it's got to be like $5 instead of a dollar, and maybe it's something which has to be known, because what it says here is the price of silver rarely goes over the $6.30 an ounce, and therefore it's added. What? New edition, okay. But all right, we'll see if Romney wins. It may go down again, but what?
A dinner
is 192 prutas, and as long as the pruta, depends what a pruta is, but not a matana, no. 50,000 is a halva that he has to pay him back. 50,000 investment. Now that's not every case. That's the case the Chazal typically had, chati milva, chati pekadin, and therefore that's the basis for most heter iskas. Yeah.
If you had $100,000 left, according to this example, they closed their business, $100,000 left, who gets it?
$100,000 remains. He gets 50, he gets 50, and he owes him 50, so I have to give him back the 50. Because he was here for the milva. So you have to pay him back the 50. If there's $200,000 left, he gets 100, he gets 100, he's got to pay him back 50. He's got to pay him with it. Now, but he'll owe him 50. He gets 40, he gets 40, and then he owes him 50 for the halva. He's got to give him back his 40 plus 10 more, because half of it is a milvah. That was, the liability was 20, he's got to pay 10 of the 20. It means when the idea of a business in Gemara. The Gemara talks about chati mil, chati pekadin. The Gemara talks, it's a taisvis that says you can do a dinner as long as it's paid up front. Now, this was a typical business dealing in the time of Chazal. The Gemara calls it karev lehefsid v'karev l'schar. In other words, it's the equal risk, hefsid and schar. Gemara has such an expression as karev lehefsid, karev l'schar. It's mutter. The Gemara, when the Gemara says karev l'schar v'rochit lehefsid, when someone guarantees the principal, Gemara calls that karev l'schar. You can make money, v'rochit lehefsid. You can't lose money. That's Gemara's expression for chatzim mil chatzim pekat. At any rate, that's an aside. This is the typical iska in the time of Chazal. The typical heta iska is drawn based on that. Why? We'll talk later about the downside of doing it the typical way, and the fact that sometimes when there are business dealings, we don't draw heta iska that way, and that's why there are different types of heta iska. But we'll start with the traditional hetiska. The traditional hetiska is the one in front of you. Most of them use this arrangement. So what happens is the following. You and I, you're going into a business and you want to borrow money. I have a problem. I would like to get a percentage. I can't charge rivers. Now again, you have to understand the following. Ramesha writes that if you think a hetiska is a kameya, that's a lush in the kameya, and you wave it at interest and it becomes mutter. So he says, it doesn't work. You can't make a, if you don't totally don't understand the Heta Iska, you can't use the Heta Iska. I have people who come lacha ma'isa b'di'evet, and it's not so simple. I'll talk about the b'di'evet later. But anyway, what is a traditional Heta Iska? I say traditional because we're going to talk about variations. A traditional Heta Iska, most Heta Iskas work as follows. What we do is you want me to lend you money. You want to start a business. I'm not really that interested in liability. I'm not really interested in profits of your business. I just want to get the few percentages that I could get from on the open market for a loan. So I want to get whatever. Let's say I want to get 5%. So what I do with you is I make a heta iska, but I put in clauses which make it unlikely that there'll be liability. And typically, the clauses are that if there's a loss, you have to bring two Edim Nemanim to Bezdin that know of the loss. It's unlikely that you'll be able to bring two Nemanim who know the whole business dealing in your business. You might have an accountant who could do it, but it's unlikely that you'll do it. And therefore, I feel comfortable that there won't be, that my money is safe. Similarly, if you want to claim that the amount of profit there was no profit or less than we anticipated, you have to swear in Bezdin. For profit, it's enough for sure, whatever reason. So the typical Hetiska says, if you claim loss of principal, you need to aid him. If you're claiming that there was no, the anticipated profits didn't materialize, you need to swear in Shua Chamura in Bezdin. The assumption going in, we know, is that you'll neither bring aid him nor have a Shua. And therefore, we put in the following clause. The clause is, then you see in the Hetisk in front of you, I will read the first two paragraphs soon, but the third paragraph is the clause that makes it a Hetisk. It is agreed that if I return the above mentioned principal to the investing partner, together with an additional 5%, whatever they make up, as payment for his share of the profits which are generated, then I will not be required to make any further payment, nor will I be required to make an oath. In other words, it says like this. I have to swear if I say that these profits didn't materialize. We're saying you want 5%, so we're claiming the profits will be, how much? We're saying the profits will be 10%. With this many 10% profit, your share will be 5%. If it doesn't materialize, I have to swear. So it's agreed that if I give you the 5%, I don't have to swear. That is the guts of the Heta Iska. That's really what it is. So if you look at it now, the first two paragraphs are an Iska. The third paragraph turns into a Heta Iska. The first two paragraphs, I, the undersigned, let me just finish, have received the sum of, let's say, $100,000 from so-and-so, hereafter referred as the investing partner, to be used for business purposes. I obligate myself to utilize these funds in a manner which I believe will generate profits. Any profit realized or losses sustained shall be shared equally between the investing partner and myself. Any claim of loss must be verified through the testimony of two qualified witnesses in and under conditions acceptable to an Orthodox Jewish court of law. Any claim regarding the amount of profits generated shall be verified under solemn oath before it is acceptable to an Orthodox Jewish court of law. Now, you could really require Eidim for both, Shvua for both. This is the way it's traditionally done. Now, those two paragraphs are a normal Iska. If I take the first two paragraphs, it's an Iska, requiring you to prove your claim in the methods outlined. The Heta Iska says it's agreed that I have an option. If I return the above mentioned principle, the investing partner with additional so and so, then I'm not required to make an oath.
What about ribbis?
So that's it.
What has to take away the ribbis?
There's no ribbis. I'm only entitled to profit. I'm not entitled to any interest.
The profit is of the loan. You're giving extra money for the loan. You're giving chasnulva.
I'm giving you $50,000 as a milva.
No,
the profits based on that 50% is yours. We're splitting profits equally. So the profits on the milva half you keep. I don't get it. The profits on the pekudin half I get. So I get half of the profits generated, and that way it's Shalom Yisrael. That way it's an investment, and it is fine. So it says afterwards in the fifth paragraph, I received $1 from Ezra Pius paying for my services during the terms of our partnership. So the fourth paragraph says, I am obligated to make this payment on or before this and this date. But it says if payment is not made, the terms of the iska shall continue. Because if he doesn't pay, you still want to be able to get profit.
That's the end of the loan? You know,
that's the end of the loan. If it's a monthly payment, so they, I have a different nusa for one that requires monthly payments. This is drawn for a one-time payment. But there's a nusa for a monthly. In the first paragraph. Oh, in the third paragraph. All right, it's important. With an additional, that could be a currency amount. It's usually a percentage amount. However, there's sometimes complicated arrangements. And you can put in with an additional amount as per our agreement, our partnership agreement. You could put in there a reference to another document, which would also do the trick. So I'm going to get to that. See, it says where money is advanced for business use. Here I'm still talking about money is advanced for business use. If money is advanced to pay off credit card debt, we're not talking about that yet. Here we're talking about when money is advanced for a for that. So here, this is the shtar. The witnesses on the bottom is an optional thing. Most tatiskas don't use witnesses. There's a reason that I put it in all my shtaris. I wrote that it's optional. But the ikar is the beginning, and this is basically the way a hetiska works. Now, of course, there's a certain amount of harama here, a certain amount of harama in the fact that we're winking at each other. We're saying, if you swear, if you bring witnesses, then I have liability. But if not, I'll get my money. There is a certain amount of harama involved here, and for that reason, there are those who objected to the use of a hetiska. But it's fair to say that the majority of Paiskim, not today, over the last 250 years, allowed this, starting from the Sma, who wrote Het Iskis, the Chachmas Adam wrote Het Iskis, the Gedolei HaPaiskim allowed it. There were occasional misnagdim to it, there are those who were against the Het Iskis, but they're not the well-known names in Psak Halach and Klal Yisrael. So there's a Sefer Shulchan Gavaya, Ginas Veradim. I bring, I think, three who are against it. But as long as it's honest-to-goodness business, it's really being done as business, you're investing and the other person needs it for business, there are come out no misnagdim that hold that you're not allowed to use this form. The rum is this, that I'm investing, I'm the wealthy man, I'm investing. I once told my class, we give him a shawl of learning the Zikin. I said, in every marshal, I'm the wealthy guy. So don't get confused, I say, I'm the wealthy person. So I'm the wealthy person, I'm investing with you. I must carry a possibility of liability. So here, I'm limiting my liability. The only way I can lose money is A, the business loses money, and B, you're willing to bring two edim on loss of principal, or swear shvuah chamura on loss of profit. I'm sort of trusting it's never going to come to that. And that's why I'm investing. So I'm really sort of saying that my liability is my chance of liability is so minimal, it makes my risk worth it. But in theory, if he brings it to aid, also Rav Moshe writes, if the investor has first-hand knowledge of the loss, if the investor knows first-hand of the loss, he can't require aid him.
I mean, he goes over the details.
If he knows, that's why an investor who's hands-on shouldn't use a heter iska. If he should know as little as possible about the business. He should know as little as he can know about it, because if he knows first-hand that there was a loss, then it's a serious problem. Now, it's rare that you know firsthand. Even if you invested in a building, there was a fire. Do you know if there was insurance?
Holding the account, so give me a financial statement, give me an audit report, and it's done. And it's done. A business has an account. He says, I want an audited report.
If you're going to do that, you should not use that to ISCA. If you feel comfortable that you have firsthand knowledge, now you don't have to trust an audited report, because you need to stay in them on him.
The most common use that I have had to ISCA is in a loan in a real estate transaction. So GFI is lending money to somebody to borrow who happens to be Jewish. Okay. Now, most of the people I'm representing are not from Jews. Am I mechuyev to sit down and say, let me explain what this had to ISCA? Usually what happens there...
They use that ISCA?
Yeah, what they do is they say, here, here's a dollar, here's a document, that's it. No signatures, no explanations, nothing. Isn't that harama completely?
It's to use a het ISCA where people don't understand it, it's certainly, definitely not l'chet chila. Even b'di'evit, many paiskim hold it's no good. Rav Moshe does give one exception. L'chela Gimel, he says when a bank uses a het ISCA, Even if the people don't know what it is, it's okay. My understanding of his reasoning, which he doesn't explain, is that everyone who knows that banks have bylaws, have a lot of fine print. And nobody knows what it says in the fine print. You know, it's you put money in the bank, you figure everyone else is putting money in the bank, so, you know, banks can't go under. Or you're trusting. Therefore, when it's a bank or any entity that's controlled, so Ramesh is matier to use a het iska if they don't understand it. Otherwise, they need a het iska. And my experience is, when you explain a het iska to fry a person, he shows it to his lawyer, the lawyer recommends against it.
Right.
Which makes you feel good. It means it's real. You know, if the right lawyer would say there's nothing in it, there is a het iska. Oh, I just got I brought it in the other day, a judgment, I think it was the Supreme Court of New York State, a judgment. There is one Talmud Chacham, who's an expert in Hilchas Ribbis, who allows putting in a clause that says on the het iska, this het iska should not be produced in any proceedings in civil court. And it should not affect any proceedings in civil court. So I was very upset about it. I called him in one case that came to me, and he explained to me his logic for it. He said, look, people should go to Beis Din, and whatever his logic was, I shouldn't speak for him. And the case that we were dealing with, he was asking not to use it. I don't remember. But there was this recent judgment in court that if you write such a document, it makes the het iska meaningless. And
I
wouldn't
use
it.
Should I explain it to the client, and the transaction? And
I'll answer it separately, okay? Because that's the Olif Nehiver. Yes?
So why if we talk about how Rambam derived here, if we're talking about Rivers to the South, it would take a little bit of a clue.
Just go more from here.
But the thing is, if there are bylaws for the bank, how does that avoid this problem then?
No, I'm talking when the ISCA was incorporated into the bank bylaws. That's good. Now, that's good provided that not the local branch manager who did the het ISCA. If the local branch manager does the het ISCA, it's never going to carry in court. And there are local branch managers that did do it, and they have Rabbonim's names, that this Rav made the het ISCA. It's not, in my opinion at least, it's not the right thing. It's a meaningless thing. If the board of directors of the bank signed on it, that would be fine for me. Rama de Reis. So there are tshuvas. The Tfushar says Haram is only helpful to Rabbanan, not De Reis. Some Sefer says it's not true. That Haram is work where we find Chazal allowed it. Here specifically in Mamin, an agreement is Chal. An agreement like by Mechiras Chametz. It's the Mechiras Chal. You don't mean it, you do mean it. But Klapi Shvaya Galia, it takes effect. And that's the reason that the Het Iska is, it's chal. If you don't honor it, you don't honor it. But it is a chal.
So when a business goes bankrupt, right? 50% is a loan, he is bad at chayav, it doesn't make a difference whether it's only the other 50% that he could potentially bring the ADIM and all that stuff.
That's right. The loan he owes no matter what.
No matter what.
Right.
The percentage is based on the Pekodin part, right?
Right, it's half the price.
Right? What do you say?
Because you weren't doing it as an iska, you're doing it as an investment. If you want to turn it into a het iska, you have to say, I'll accept 50% of loss. You don't want to accept 50% of loss. The het iska makes it unlikely you'll ever have the loss. That's what you need it for. If you know it's going to make profits, you don't need a het iska. Just do an investment. The het iska is drawn for one purpose only, to sort of guarantee the person, but not quite guarantee, that there won't be loss of principal.
But if there's going to be aided, then they'll have to pay.
You have to pay.
Now, is it different as far as knowing what the instrument is doing and what's going on as far as being affected?
There's a difference of agreement, a difference of opinion. If Mechiras Chametz is there, I said the Rabbanan. Mesivis writes, that's the Rabbanan, you do Bittul anyway. Do you really do Bittul if you have a shop in a Glatmar and you have in the basement $50,000 worth of cereal? You're really not relying on the Bittul, you're really relying on the Mechira. So if it's there, I said the Rabbanan, it's questionable, but anyway, the Mechira is Chal. Now,
what if there's a delay in the payment? Let's say it's an economic balance, not a bankruptcy.
Right.
There's a delay in getting the payment out to the.
Yeah, so clause 4 says, I'm obligated, the paragraph 4, I'm obligated to make this payment on or before a certain time. It says, if payment is not made by the time, the terms of the ISCA shall continue. So that if he fails to make payment, the terms continue, and whatever he owes him is still an anticipated profit.
Just keep
Yes. Now, what is the problem? Why can't I use this document every single time? Why do I need more documents? So there are two problems with this document which require an adjustment. The main problem with the Heta Iska is when a person is not taking money for a business. I told him, where a person takes money, he's going to start a business. What happens if a person is choking under credit card debt, or he owes more money on his mortgage and a foreclose on his home? What happens when a person is taking money for personal use? So for personal use, this nusach is not really correct. It's not an accurate nusach. And therefore, in the book, there's an iska B, where money is advanced for personal use. It's the same iska, except where it says, I'm obligated to utilize these funds, in the first paragraph, I'm obligated to use these funds in a manner which I believe will generate profit. You can't say that. You can't sign such a document if you're taking money to pay off your mortgage or to pay off your credit card debt or to make a wedding. You know, I'm using it to make profit. What profit? Therefore, the Heta Iska says that I'm selling you investments which I already have. If there are investments which a person already has, so you do the same Heta Iska, but instead of utilizing this money for profits, I'm taking the money and I'm selling you, as of this moment, a share in the investments which I have. Now, if I have an IRA, so I have money which I can invest, the IRA can be put into many different instruments, so I'm agreeing to sell that. If it's a house is an investment. If the house has net value, it's not mortgaged for its full value, so a person can do a Heta Iska for whatever his value is. So he's giving over value. If, and it happens, where a person has no investments, you cannot use a Heta Iska. A person who has absolutely no investments, and he's not borrowing money to start a business, he's borrowing money to pay off debt, a Heta Iska does not work. A Heta Iska has to give a share in some type of a business which can make profit. And therefore, what?
There are businesses you can't, that do make a profit, you can't invest in. A non-lawyer can't invest in a law firm, but I'm not sure the same thing would be like.
So I don't know, you know, if the law doesn't allow investment, it may not be good. Or maybe good. I'm not sure how halacha would view it. It's complicated. If Zadina the Machusa, a non-lawyer, can invest in a law firm, it's questionable as to whether that rule falls under Dina Machusa Dina. Dina Machusa Dina, again, I can go share on it. It's limited in its application. Yes?
So in other words, if I have a home equity, I can give my chaver a loan on my home equity, he'll pay the interest because...
The one receiving the funds has to have...
He has to have equity.
He has to have equity in his home.
If he's renting and he has no equity, no IRAs, I can't give him...
You can't use that to ask him.
You can give him a loan.
You give him a free loan. It's a mitzvah deraisa. It's a mitzvah deraisa to give him.
If I lend him my credit card, he says, I'll pay your interest.
Can do it.
No, yes.
There's really no way out of it.
In other words, a person can open a business.
There's really no way out of it.
No. The business will really start in a few months. You know, in the meantime, I'll lend myself the money. I'll put into this business, and the business will lend it then to him for
it's real and not a shell. It's got to be
sounds like a shell.
What business?
If you're on a business that can make profit, you can use that to Iska. The Heta Iska has to be for a business.
Money,
people
money
have IRAs.
Money just has money in the bank.
Yeah.
You cannot make Heta Iska.
Once upon a time, money in the bank made money.
No.
I have a super high yield checking account. It's giving me
0.1%.
No, because no one's making money. First of all, Tyson says you don't know. Tyson says you shouldn't rely on it. There's Tyson above it's here. And anyway, you're not making money on that calculation.
Why can't somebody sell one of his kids to be an avid ivory?
Can't sell a son to be an avid ivory. You can sell a daughter to be an... You want to sell your daughter to be an avid. So what are you doing? He's going to buy a partnership in your daughter who's an avid. It's a very imaginative thing. Ramesh writes in the Tshuva that you can't sell slaves today because of Dina the Machusa, which is a Chiddush. But, but he has by being Mitara Mamzer, by the Eitz of being Mitara. So he says to be Mitara Mamzer, you could do it even though Dina Machusa, but you're making him an Evid and freeing him right away, so he has a head. Yes?
Not going to know up. And you have an order, you have a house of
He can't make a hetiska retroactively. The hetiska had to be made. You made a hetiska. You made a hetiska at the time? So an Arav also has to sign on to that hetiska. You have to have signs on to that hetiska. Could be it's good if Darv has a hetiska. Yes? Yeah.
But you want to put something in it that's lending you no money for a year or two or whatever. You want to get that back some percentage down the line when you make the living. So would the house be considered as a business?
If it's his house, it's a business, yeah.
Well, houses is a business.
I'll tell you off the record, there's a very wealthy man who I happen to daven with Friday mornings. And after davening, he says to me, "Why isn't everyone investing in real estate? It always goes up." That's what he told me. So I told him, because not everyone's like you that can invest in 50 places. You can invest in one, you know, you don't really take a chance. You invest in 50 places, you know, the rich get richer. But, you know, real estate goes up, so you can use it as a hetiska. There's a problem. Since you know the iska, if you know it didn't go up, you're going to be stuck. You're going to be stuck. In iska, if you have first-hand knowledge it didn't go up in value, you can't get your percentage. Yeah, hopefully it will go up. So, from your child, how much are you going to take? 3%, 4%? Not so big. Okay, at any rate, I want to go beseder. I told you there are two major problems. So problem number one is if it's not used for an investment. So you do have an option of buying into other investments he has, which is this could be in the book. And that works just fine. As a matter of fact, it's better because you don't know which investment, and there's no chance you really know which investment. It just works better.
Now, if
you know for certain, then it's a problem. That's the best thing, and you're right. You're right that he's obligated to put it into the best investment he has. That's all. That's what Nusa says. Best investment. No one knows the future, but the best anticipated investment, and that's what it is. And you could call for insurance if you're investing in the, and it's based on a home. You could call for insurance to be drawn. That's not to be. It could be a requirement. Now, yes. So it's really 10%, because 5% is going to be your half. So it's really, that's one of the problems. Now, let me explain. All right, this till now we've talked about the standard had to iska A and B, which is the same, just one for personal use, one for business use. Now, there is also a potential problem with using a chatzi mil v'chatzi pekadon. The use of a chatzi mil v'chatzi pekadon is just because that's the evolution of how het iskas evolved from iskas to het iskas. Now, there are two potential issues. One is, if I go into a business deal with you, chatzi mil v'chatzi pekadon, I give you $100,000, $50,000 alone, $50,000 investment. At the end of the day, I'm a lender and you're a borrower. At the end of the day, we have halvar restrictions. You can't come to me and say, you know, you invested in the bagel store with me, here, have a dozen bagels. You're my loiva, I'm your malva. You can't give me things. Now, if the person you're investing with, the person you barely know, it's not so much of an issue. But sometimes, it's a father and a son, or the people who know each other, they do each other favors. And by using chatzi milva, chatzi pekadon, you're making yourself into a lender, which is not an ideal thing for people that are friends. You make yourself a lender, you can have rumbus issues. That's a problem with chatzi milva. Now, there's another problem with chatzi milva, is that let's say I want 5%. I'm saying that this business anticipates a 10% profit, because we split profits. So I'm really saying we anticipate we're going to make 10%, I get 5, you get 5, so I get my 5%. What happens if I want 12%? We have to be saying that we anticipate a 24% profit in the business, which could be wild, it could be unrealistic. We have an IRA, we can get 24%. And therefore, one second, it says that profits and losses to be shared equally, which means I get half of the profits. That's what it says in the beginning. So it says share equally. I'm only getting half the profit. For that reason, it's better to use a kulay pekadon form. Kulay pekadon says, I'm giving you $100,000. Every penny of it is an investment. I'm not lending you a penny. I'm giving you $100,000 as an investment in the business, and all the profits are mine, except for your schar tircha, you get a salary. All the profits are mine. However, it is agreed that if I return the above-mentioned principal with the anticipated profit of 5%, that the rest of the profits you could keep. That form, a kulay pekadon form, which I have, again, I have two, one for business use, one for personal use, really is the optimum use of a hetis, because really the best way to go. It solves both problems. I'm not a malven loiva with you, and I'm not saying I anticipate double the percentage. I'm saying I anticipate a 5% profit. Now, you say I could lose everything. Most people who invest in it with a hetiska are assuming that the person they're investing with will not bring two witnesses and will not swear. In other words, I'm really betting that he's going to stick to the third paragraph, that he's going to return the above-mentioned principal of 5% as anticipated profit, and that's that. If I feel comfortable with that, so then I could use a kulay pekadon form. Now, I would personally prefer to always use a kulay pekadon form and not have problems. So I had somebody, one of my chavrusis, who's a really big expert. I learned Hilchus Ribbis from the Yeshiva Lamp of Metzia about 1981. Yeshiva Lamp of Metzia, so Rekhel learned Hilchus Ribbis. And so I learned it then. 7 years later, when the yeshiva came back to Bava Metzia, I did it again. I did it, I reviewed it. The chavrusa I learned with had spent that entire 7 years doing Hilchus Ribbis. He became a big expert in Hilchus Ribbis. Today in America, he's from the one or two experts in Hilchus Ribbis. And he put out a sefer on Hilchus Ribbis. And it was very frustrating learning Shulchan Aruch with him because he knew what it said. It just bothered him. The Gerot Sechen Su, one Gemara, it was really a different Gemara, you know, like that type of thing when you're with somebody who has expertise. But you see, he asked, at that time, I believe, of Shlomo Zalman, why don't we just use a kulay pekadon form all the time? Shlomo Zalman told him, I believe, if I recall correctly, that Chazal always use chatzi lo v'chatzi pekadon. So when you could use it, use it. There's a reason not to use it, use a kulay pekadon form. So the standard het iska, if you go in, you get the standard het iska form. So if you Google het iska form, you get a site that has all kinds of shtaris. And they happen to have my het iskas there. But there are het iskas that are one size fits all, which are drawn to cover all cases. And they're a kulay pekadon, they're a chati milva chati pekadon form. And you can use it. It's, now, what?
But you were saying
Kulay
pekadon is better.
Because that's the way it was always written. And Jews, you know, we still say Yikum Purkin in Aramaic, and we still bless the Chachamim in Bavel. How many Chachamim are there in Bavel? I don't know. You know, I knew someone, the chaplain who served in Iraq. And he came back, he showed me a picture of himself sitting on the throne of Mr. Hussein. Mm-hmm. So I told him, you know, you're in Iraq for 6 months, you know, whole Klal Yisrael is blessing you. You know, we say, we say a bracha for the Chacham who are in Babel, and you are the one. You're the only Chacham in Babel, you know. It's like, it's gewaldig. So we try to stay, we're big on Messiah, and we try to stick with it, and use Kulay pekadon. So these are the two major issues. The major issues are when a person has no investments, and that's a big problem, and where you need a kulay pekadon form. Yeah.
This condition that you're saying that if I swear or bring witnesses, really can be any condition based upon what you say. Why does that have to be that?
That's a good question.
A condition that, say,
okay, I'll answer.
Yeah, okay.
No, it has to be biyadai. It has to be conditions okay, biyadai. But if you stand on your head.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you could make any condition. However, when we draw up shtaris, this Rabbi Dovah Feinstein told me, I call Rabbi Dovah Feinstein, I don't like doing Shtar Shabbos. People have businesses that have to be open on Shabbos. I try to get them to go to someone else. Shtar Shabbos, you know, you sell it you sell half your business to the guy, the handyman. It doesn't sit so well with me. So I only do a Shtar Shabbos if the guy's willing to lose money and give whoever he sells to a part of the money. And, you know, so that itself dissuades people from coming to me. But I asked Rabbi David, how much percentage do I have to give? I want to do a real Shtar Shabbos. And someone's investing, he's buying Shabbos. I have a business open 7 days a week. So he's buying Shabbos and Yom Tov, like a sixth of the year. So what profit do I have to give him? And he's allowed to pay for his chelik in the business, and he has to make a profit. So I could say, well, the business makes $1 million profit, a sixth is $1 million. He'll pay me $1 million, you get $1 million, and I don't lose anything. That's not an investment. So Rav David told me it has to be a clause that people do in business, that people would do for business. Nobody would invest to get zero back. 1% also not. So I remember talking to him about the case I was involved in. He wanted, originally he told me it should be 10% of the Shabbos income. And I told him the person that's being sold to is the manager. He knows the business. He's confident. He's not so much risk. So he was masking him that if it's an insider who knows the business and has the minimal risk, that 5% is enough. And I drew up the shtar that he gets 5% of the profits. But the clause has to be a sensible business clause. The clauses that are here are sensible business clauses. You need witnesses. Now, I write a shtar in a business. You need witnesses to prove loss. It makes sense. If I write that if you want to prove a loss, you have to learn how to do somersaults or sit on your head, that's not a normal business agreement. And therefore, the shtarais shouldn't be drawn to be a normal business tonight. If you do something else, it'll be chal. But we want to keep it, it's enough of our Rama. We want to keep it as in line as possible. 5% of the Shabbos profit. Why would anybody invest and buy your Shabbos business?
Somebody wants to buy the Shabbos business.
For what?
The business that's at equally every day, it has $1 million. It takes 1/6 to 1/7 of $1 million.
So you should get the whole million.
No, 1/6 of the million.
It makes $1 million. It makes $6 million a year. $6 million a year. So Shabbos Yom Tov, it makes $1 million. You should get the whole million. But I don't know. I established a business. I don't have to sell it, give it to him for free. So he has to buy.
Goodwill, take something for something. Which is 5% of the million of that portion, you're saying?
Would you invest in a business that's making $1 million? I'm willing to sell you a sixth of the business. It's $1 million. You invest $1 million, and I'll give you back $1 million as the profit. You wouldn't do that.
So you're saying it's really.
It has to be a sensible profit that a person can really anticipate. I don't want to get sidetracked to Shtar Shabbos, so we can talk about it. So I'm trying to be Mesudr. What I've told you till now is the regular Het to Iska. Again, two concerns. If there's no investment, and B, if it's not a Kulei Pekudin form, there are a few drawbacks. Now, there are two relatively new developments in Het to Iska. One is very useful, and one is a big mistake. The mistake is easy. There is a Het to Iska, which is circulating, which was written by people who know halacha, but in my opinion, don't know English. What it says in paragraph 4 or 3 is agreed, what they write is agreed that in lieu of returning the above mentioned principle, that in lieu of payment for his share of the profits that are generated, I will return the above-mentioned principle together with an additional 5%. Now, what that means in English, it is agreed that in lieu of, it means that this het the shtar is saying, you have no option of going with a prior agreement. It is agreed that in lieu of the previous agreement, that, I'm just trying to find the exact nusach that the iska form. In lieu of the iska, we're going to pay interest. That's what it says. Now, obviously, that's not good. You can't say that. There has to be an option of bringing witnesses. You can't write that in lieu of everything we said till now, we're going to pay interest. You can't do that. There has to be a chance that you're going to lose money. Here's the nusach. I have here an erroneous et iska form. This is the quote. It is agreed that in lieu of the aforementioned oath, the managing partner will return the principal to the investing partner with additional dollars blank for his share in the profits. Now, that language is saying that it is agreed that in lieu of the oath, he's going to pay this amount. That's a big toss. Because he has to have the option of swearing. The whole et iska works as if he wants. He could swear and you take a loss. So their writing is agreed that in lieu of the aforementioned oath, the managing partner will return the principal. That's a big problem. It's automatic. It's agreed that in lieu of that, we're going to do this. So who cares about that? You're just doing this. It's a big toss, and it's all over. It's a form that has on top explanation, on bottom form. has an explanation, very nice explanation. It's made for people who don't know what a het disk is, to be able to, in one stop, to do it. It's an explanation, paragraph, and then form, paragraph. And that form is drawn, it's just a mistake. The English is wrong, it says in Luav. Number two is Rav Moshe has a Selis agreement, just because it's late, I'm not going to go into it. But if someone is giving money to a child, a relative, anybody, to buy a house, instead of using a heta iska, it's better to use a sale lease agreement. The sale lease agreement accomplishes the same thing without any aroma at all, and it's an excellent thing. In Lakewood, I mentioned that the Meisharim, the second Besdin that opened in Lakewood, they don't do heta iskas. For whatever reason, it's a frumkeit, they don't do heta iskas, but they do sale lease agreements. And the sale lease agreement is highly preferable to the heta iska. What it is, we can discuss. I just want to get to side B. Side B of your sheets is a very important document for partners in business. Now, this is something that you're all going to say, not all, some of you know this, but 75% of people don't know, that if you have two partners in a business, Risen Brothers, my father, my uncle, open a business, taking bank loans is a ribbis issue. And the reason is the following. When you take a bank loan, let's say you and I are partners. We take a bank loan. That bank loan, if I borrow 50%, you borrow 50%, there's no problem. Let's say you and I, we're both here, and we say, look, you take a loan for half, I take a loan for half, we'll put it into the business. And the business will pay the interest. It's not a problem. Why? Because I own half the business, you own half the business. We're investing equally, we're taking out equally. The fact that I'm paying my interest with it is of no consequence. I'm entitled to half of the profits of the business. So if I take 50%, you take 50%, we take separate loans, there's no problem. It doesn't matter where I got the money from. If I invest with a loan, you invest without a loan, it doesn't matter. That's good. However, when we go to a bank and we borrow money, we guarantee it personally. The bank holds each person responsible for 100%. Of the loan, which means that I'm an oriv for my partner's loan to the bakery. He borrowed from the bank, he gave the money to the business, and I'm an oriv for that money. And that's a problem. Kolshkein, when one partner, the investing partner, takes a loan all by himself, and he expects the business to pay it, and he's the only name on the loan, so that's straight out ribbis. I'm borrowing money from the bank, and now I'm lending it to the business, of which half of it is you. That's no different than letting someone use my credit card. Let me just finish. So this is a problem, which is a problem, really, l'chol hashitas. There's one exception. When the managing partner takes a loan, there are many paiskim will hold that since he's the managing partner, he's entitled, as part of a managing agreement, to take loans on behalf of both. That's a separate issue. But that's not usually the case. Usually, the investing partner is the one with credit. It's a problem. Therefore, if you have a partnership, you should draw up a heta iska klali. Heta iska klali governs all business deals that take place, and it says the following: whereas we, the undersigned, desire all business to be in accordance with Orthodox Jewish law, prohibits the payment of ribbis on money advanced to 18 Jews. We hereby declare all money advanced in the course of our joint business dealings by either party, whether personal monies or via loans received from outside lenders, including mortgage loans, which are guaranteed by individual partners, are advanced in accordance with the term of heta iska, stating that. And then it goes into the heta iska agreement, which is basically very typical, basically. And it's a catch-all. It's a heta iska klali, a general heta iska, which governs everything. This document has three signatures because I had written it up when there were three partners involved. However many partners are involved. Now, the only thing is the dollar. Every time we do business, I'm going to give you a dollar. So this shtar, instead of a dollar, gives the managing partner 5% of profits for his efforts, which is a second option of dealing with a dollar, of giving him a certain percentage of profits in exchange for his efforts. But all that is of no practical consequence because it is agreed that if you pay monthly payments in six is what makes it a heta iska. It's agreed that if the partner shall provide to the investor a sum equal to the monthly payments provided for in their agreement, they'll give him whatever, 5%, the investor shall waive his rights to additional profits, or may partially belong to the partner. So that's basically the the idea of a heta iska chloli, a general heta iska, which certainly works between firm yidin, there's no question. And it's important that anybody with a business with partnership, and today any major type of business has partnerships, if there's no personal liability, it's not a major issue because you have Ramosha's heta, the corporation heta, whenever there's no personal liability. But in cases where there is personal liability, it is, it's crucial that every business has a heta iska kloli. What?
This is a Jewish lender.
When they're Jews, and everyone, when the two partners are Jews.
No.
One partner,
they borrow from the bank.
Even they borrow from a Gaisha bank. If I borrow money from a bank and lend it to you, I can't charge you ribbis. If I borrow money from the bank and lend it to the business, the half of the business that's yours, I have to pay that interest. I can't have you pay it. Because I'm lending what I borrowed. And that's where it becomes an issue. And therefore, it's important for business partners to have a hetesh kaklali. A number of people here in the shul over the years have drawn up hetesh kaklali. Sometimes it has to be adjusted for the exact type of a business. But it's crucial that people be aware of the concept of a hetesh kaklali.
So,
excuse me?
Indemnification.
What does indemnification mean?
I will indemnify you against whatever losses you have.
You can indemnify anybody, but not in exchange for a loan. You can do people favors, but not in exchange for a loan.
No, two partners. And
yes.
Their name is on the loan.
Right.
And it's related to both partners. And one sets a real concern that one is going to pay the interest.
Right.
So he can identify.
He can't. Partner. He can't. If someone lends you money, you can't, in exchange, guarantee to make his payments. Identify means you borrow from the bank, you're lending it to me, and I guarantee that the payments to the bank will happen. I'm asking, let's say I need to borrow money from you. You borrow money from a bank at 5%, you can't lend to me with interest. You say, I can't lend you with interest, but I want you to guarantee you'll pay the bank 5% every month. That's the same as interest. That's what's happening. And that's where it's an issue. So it's an issue. You should know that if anybody here already has such an agreement, and you want to use a heta iska kloli, or any heta iska, it does not work retroactively. It can work. What you have to do is sit down and reissue the loan, so to speak. Now, most people, if they invest $1 million, don't happen to have $1 million handy. So you have to have ways of doing it to pay back the loan and reissue as an investment. And here there's a section that describes how to change a heta iska into a loan. Usually you sit down with a rav, takes a few minutes, 15 minutes to change it, and it can be changed. But it can help retroactively. Generally, if you already have a liability for the past, they're very difficult. It's a small amount, you can fix it up, but it's very difficult once it's a major amount of money to fix it. All right, so these are the basic rules of heta iska. There are many side issues, which I try to restrain myself and stay clear with the main issues. And I hope, if the whole business was worth it, that you're aware of the heta iska, that's already kedai. All right, I said I wasn't going to get into it. It's a separate share, but you can always buy the book and read it. Okay, so use it.